We've been looking the last couple days at the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and how awesome is it just to be able to look into the Word of God on a daily basis? How awesome is it to just find those truths every day? I love opening up the Word every day. And you know, the great thing is I was reading Ephesians chapter 2 probably about 6 weeks ago, and it was great. It just encouraged me. And on Sunday, I looked at it again, and there was just so much more. That's the beauty of the Word. Every time you open it, that's why it says the Word of God is living and active. Sharper than any two-edged sword. This is why it's living and active. Every time you read it, you just get new insights. It speaks to you where you have a need, where you're at the moment that you're reading it. So let's look again at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll get a running start on this again. We're going to start with verse number 1, and I'm going to pick it up. We went through verses 5 and 6. We'll pick it up with verse 6 again and move on to the conclusion of that today. It says, and you, he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. Here's the good news. Jesus made us alive even when we were still in those sins, even when we still walked in those sins. We were unworthy of salvation, and yet it was his great love that reached out towards us with salvation and the hope of salvation. Verse number 2, in which at one time you walked habitually, talking about sin, in which at one time you walked habitually, you were following the course and the fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Wow, that summarizes a whole bunch of us, even right now today still, under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following the prince of the power of the air, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well were as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passion of our flesh, our behavior governed by the corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation, like the rest of mankind. But, I love the buts, but God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead, slain to our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. The same new life with which he quickened him. For it's by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. But you could just stop and look at each one of these, verse by verse, and probably spend days and days. Verse number 6, and he raised us up together. I'm not going to, don't worry. And he raised us up together with him, and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, and the Anointed One. So Paul's telling the Ephesians and essentially speaking to you and I today and saying, while you were still a sinner, while you were habitually living in sin, while your thoughts and your mind were wrong, where you were locked up in all those things that verses 2 and 3 were talking about, yet in spite of that, God still loved you and motivated and moved by his great love, that intense love that he has for you and I, motivated by that, he still sent. He brought us salvation through Jesus Christ. And in that salvation, we went from being locked up in all of those things that are talked about in verses 2 and 3, and we become what it mentions in verse number 6. And this is the great thing. Now, let me read this again. Hear what it says. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere, by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is what we need to see every day. We need to see where we really are. You know, if you went earlier in those verses, if you heard as in the Amplified Bible, it was talking about giving into those sensual things, those sensual input, realizing and giving into the sensual desires. In other words, being aware of the things of the senses. You see, when we live our lives in the natural, only in the natural, only in the physical, only in the things that we can see, touch, feel, hear, taste, if all of our reality is based upon that, then we're stuck only in that, and we miss out on the greater, the better. All the answers and all the good things are in the spiritual realm. And he is saying that we can move from just being limited to the sensual awareness, just the being aware of only the things our senses dictate to us. We can move from that and realize, and we should realize, that we're actually seated spiritually. We are seated spiritually right now. Right now, you are seated with him in those heavenly spheres. We move, we operate, we live our daily lives in the natural, but we're also walking in and we're also living. We may not see it and realize it because our senses will not perceive it, but we also move and we have a part in the spiritual realm. And where is that? We are seated with him in the spiritual realm. We are made joint heirs with him. Earlier it said in those verses we read that we were heirs of the wrath of God before, but now through Jesus Christ, we are joint heirs with him, seated with him, seated together with him, made to sit down. Here's the importance of meaning made to sit down. You know, the Bible talks to us a lot, and you've heard this referred to, but I think we don't really stop to realize what it means. It just sounds like it's a nice, flowery, biblical statement when we say that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. It just sounds like a really good biblical thing to say. It sounds very eloquent to say that. But it's more than just being elegant in its sounding. You know, it's more than just being flowery and a nice picture. It's saying that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, which means if he's seated, it's an indication that his work is done. He's seated because he has done everything. He's already accomplished all that needs to be accomplished. He has won for you every victory that you need. It's already done. The work is done. I don't have to say, Jesus, would you get up from being seated at the right hand of the Father and please come heal me? Jesus, would you get up from that seat from right next to the Father on the right hand and just come and help me out because I've got these family issues or I have these financial issues? Would you get up and help me? Don't have to do that. The work is done. And we get that same imagery, and we should see that with our spiritual eyes, in our own souls. We should see that in the spiritual realm. You're a spiritual being. You're a physical being, but there's also a spiritual element to you. And in your soul and in your spirit for sure, your soul needs to see it. But in your spirit, you are seated at the right hand of the Father. In the spiritual realm, that's exactly the position and the place that you have. You know, the more you read the Bible, the more you see a lot of imagery that talks about the things that we have in the spiritual realm. And if you could see yourself with these things, if you could see yourself with the crown, if you could see yourself with the shield, if you could see yourself wrapped in Christ, if you could see yourself seated with him, you would see and realize all the things that Jesus has already done for you. Things that are already yours, if we can just grab hold of it, it's ours in the spiritual realm. If I believe that, if I see it with my spiritual eyes, I believe it. In faith, I grab hold of it in the spiritual realm, and I make it a reality. By grabbing hold of it in faith, I make it become a reality here in the spiritual, in the natural realm. If you can see that, you can stretch your faith to believe it and to possess those things that Jesus Christ has already established for you. What are those things? What are your needs today? He's already provided for all of those needs, all of them. You may say, I don't see them and I don't realize them. That's true. But it's because you're only looking with your natural eyes. You're only looking with your natural senses. You're allowing your sensual perceptions to dictate to you what is the ultimate final reality. In your eyes, your ears, your sense of touch, smell, taste, all of those things will not perceive, cannot. It's impossible for them to perceive the things of the spiritual realm. That's part of the result of the fall. But we know what the word says, and if we can see that and believe it, we can make it a reality. And that's what verse 6 is talking about here. And the beauty of it is, Paul is saying, this is who you were. This is how great God's love is for you. That even while you were still yielding to and under the sway of the tendency of this present age, while you were still living a sinful life and existence and dwelling in that, he still, because of his great love, intense love for you, still sent the Savior and provided that salvation for you. And if we accept that and we walk in that in faith, if we accept it and walk in that, we then find ourselves seated in the spiritual realm, seated with Jesus Christ, seated with him, joint heirs together with him. Let me tell you something. There is an enemy out there who wants to bring, who does bring this. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he does. When bad things happen in your life, it comes from the things of the enemy. When good things come, they come from God. It's that simple. When bad things come, don't get mad at God. I know a lot of people that get mad when bad circumstances come to pass. No, they get mad at God and disappointed. I would say, you know what? Rather than looking at God and being angry at God, he's not your problem. He's your solution. He is saying, you are seated with me. You are seated with me. Jesus Christ is saying, you are seated with me in the spiritual realms. That means you have the authority of Jesus Christ. You have all that he has done. When the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, we need to look with our spiritual eyes. Because I'll guarantee you this, when the enemy looks at you, he's seeing you not just in the natural, he's also seeing you in the spiritual realm. And he's seeing you seated with Jesus Christ. He just doesn't want you to see yourself there, because he knows if you don't see yourself seated there, you're not going to lay hold in faith of those spiritual truths. And if you can't lay hold of them, you're not going to possess them and bring them in the natural. He sees where you're seated, but the enemy does not want you to see where you're seated. He wants you to look only through your natural eyes and believe only the things of this natural realm. If he can do that to you and I, he can continue to beat us up, take away from us, and destroy. It's what he does. Don't see yourself just in the natural realm. See yourself with those spiritual eyes. That's the power. That is just the power of what's being shared in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. Let me read that again. And he, Jesus, raised us up together. It's not that he's going to raise you up. It's already a done deal. It is finished. In the spiritual realm, this is the position that you have. And he raised us up together, raised us, done deal, with him. Jesus has chosen, he made the choice to extend that hand to you and I and to raise us in the spiritual realm, to raise us up to be positioned and seated with him. He raised us up together with him and made us to sit down together, giving us joint seating with him. Can you picture that? That's reality. But I can't see it, Todd, because you're looking with your natural eyes. With your soul, look and believe. See what the Word is telling you. See it. See yourself there. This is what the Word is saying. This is the ultimate final truth. He has lifted you up and made you to sit down together with him, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere. In other words, in that spiritual realm. By virtue, you might say, I don't deserve that. You're right, you don't. Neither do I. He doesn't do it based on our efforts. He doesn't do it based on our performance. He does it by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We are in him. And so we have joint heirship with him. He did all this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace. He wants you to see. He wants you to see and realize. As he has, Jesus, as he has from the time, from the beginning of time, but certainly from the time of his resurrection and his ascension and his being seated at the right hand of the Father. He wanted all to see from that time forward the greatness, the intensity of his love, and what he has done for us. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, there's no limit, there is no limit to the riches of his free grace. Grace is giving you those things you don't deserve. He has already given you, limitless, he's given you through his grace all that we need. His unmerited favor, his kindness, his goodness of heart towards us. In Christ Jesus. That is awesome. That is awesome. Really want to look at verse number 10 too. Don't have time. Perhaps we will do that on Friday. That's Ephesians chapter 2. It's so powerful. It's so beautiful. See it in your soul. See where you're seated in the spiritual realms. And if you can see where you're seated today in the spiritual realms, then let's lay hold of all those blessings. Here's the question. What is it you have need of today? If you are seated with Christ in that spiritual realm, if we are seated with that joint heirship with him, what are those things that you have need of today? See yourself seated with him. See yourself walking and receiving his full grace and that limitless outpouring of his grace and love for you, meeting your needs. That's what we're going to pray for, believe for, and see take place.